Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. While observing those who gave offerings at the temple, Jesus said in Mark 12, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contributed to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is our text. Jesus has a good eye for noticing things, especially for little things. He's a student of people and he observes them, and we see that in our gospel reading today. First, he sees the scribes. He notices how they dress, how they sit, how they pray, how they profit off of others. What does this reveal about them? Well, what Jesus recognizes is that the scribes love to be seen. They try to appear great and pious. They crave recognition. They enrich themselves at the expense of others. Very clearly, Jesus is sending a message to his disciples, to you and me. Don't be like the scribes. Don't be fake. Don't do things merely as a show to impress others. Guard yourself against the temptations of pride and riches. Such people, Jesus says, will receive the greater condemnation. But then he sees someone else. He sees a poor widow. So different from those scribes and Jewish religious leaders, and he observes her behavior at the temple. While the rich drop large sums into the offering box, this widow comes along and she drops in 2 lepta, 2 small copper coins, the widow's mite. Mark tells us that they equal a quadrans. It's maybe $3 in today's money. Not much. It certainly won't keep the lights on. It might buy a cup of coffee. And this woman, when she does this act, is completely unaware that anyone's watching. She's not noticing or thinking about herself. She didn't do it to be seen by others. She didn't do it for the recognition she would get, though little did she know that she would make it into the Gospels and that she would be remembered for thousands of years around the world. It's this widow, this nameless saint, who receives the praise of Jesus. "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contributed to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." All she had. Which wasn't much. I mean, practically nothing at all. Her entire living dropped through that hole and clinking against the large coins of the rich. It would be like someone today on fixed income putting their entire Social Security check into the offering plate or donating it to a fund to help the poor. Honestly, it seems a little bit foolish and short-sighted, at least from our perspective. How's this woman going to live? Where will she get her evening meal? What will it mean for tomorrow? Those may be our questions, but they're not Jesus's questions. And the woman was a widow. That's to say, she was among the most vulnerable in society. She didn't have anyone else to rely on. She didn't have anyone to protect her or to provide for her or to help her. And yet that doesn't stop her. You know, here's the thing that blows my mind. This woman isn't looking there, isn't there acting for recognition, and she isn't seeking any sympathy. And she doesn't do this out of resignation or despair. She's just going about her regular life, doing what she would normally do. She's not resigned. She's not in despair. She just keeps going. She keeps working. She keeps giving, like so many widows I've known and seen. The one that comes to my mind most is my mother's mother, my grandmother, Selma Graves. Into her 90s, she would drive her little car 1 mile each way to her Methodist church and back. It's about as far as she went. She worshiped, she prayed, she helped, she gave. And it left a big impression on me and on others. And the beauty of it is that she didn't do it for that reason at all. Scripture takes a special interest in the care and needs of widows. We heard this language in today's psalm. The Lord upholds the widow and the fatherless. The world may not notice or care, but the Lord does. He pays attention. And so does the church. St. James puts it this way. He says, religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is how James describes the activity of faith. What faith does: it visits orphans and widows in their affliction. It serves the neighbor. It lives in this world. The reality here at Our Savior is that we have quite a few widows. And it is a hard and challenging thing for these women who've lost their husbands, who often live alone. And yet I see the beauty here within our own congregation, the widows supporting one another through the journey, the congregation loving and supporting these women as they go through life. Continue to do this. Look out for one another. Love each other and serve each other as God would have us do. For this is faith active in love. You know, when I hear this poor widow mentioned in Mark, the thing that just jumps into my mind, and I can't help it, is how great this widow's need is. But Jesus says nothing about that. He doesn't latch on to her need. He doesn't latch on to her poverty. He directs us to her richness of faith. We can learn something from Jesus here. When he sees this woman and what she's doing, he draws attention to her good qualities and deeds, to the good works that she does in God's sight, though to the world it looks like nothing. All she had to live on. All she had was basically nothing. All she had was trust. She hoped in the God of Israel, and I'm sure she had no idea that that God was watching her in that moment, not from above, but right there in the flesh. No idea that the Savior for whom she longed and prayed had come to save her, that he was standing in the same temple courtyard. Her hope in God for this life and for the life of the world to come is what we see. This woman was all in on her God and what he could do. She was eagerly waiting for him and trusting in him and placing her life into his hands. As she did this, she may have been remembering the account we heard from 1 Kings, the story of the widow of Zarephath, 1 Kings 17. This was a time in the land of Israel when the nation was being ruled by a king who was basically an unbeliever and had no respect for the God of Israel. And because of that and how the people were following him, the Lord sent a famine, a drought and famine on the land and in neighboring communities. And yet during that time, God provided for this widow from Zarephath and her son and his prophet Elijah. You heard the account, this woman gathering sticks when Elijah comes up and asks for a drink of water, she's about to get that for him, and he says, "Oh, can I have a cake as well?" And that's when she breaks down. "These sticks were for my last fire, that my last oil and last flour were going to bake the last cake on before my son and I die." And Elijah made a promise from God that the flour and oil would not run out. And the jar of flour was not spent, and neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The Lord upholds the widow. This widow, all she had, trust in her God. And this is an act of the gospel. This is the gospel at work in her life. For it is not that this woman looks at her own life and sees that she has some special merit or standing before God. It's not that this woman says, "I'm deeply loved because I'm so wonderful." No, it's that she knows her God is so wonderful that she deeply loves him in return. The widow's trust and her generosity flow from the steadfast love of the Lord that she knows. The steadfast love of the Lord that is new every day. His faithfulness, which is so great. You see, what the gospel gave to this woman was faith, and it was that same gospel that brought forth her generosity and her charitableness. She trusted in the God of Israel. And you know, when Jesus sees the gift that he gives, it's interesting because measured against the gifts of the rich, she really put in nothing. As I said earlier, it's not going to pay the bills in any way. And yet Jesus recognizes that she has given more. They gave out of the abundance that they had, out of the surplus that they had. She gave out of her poverty and her littleness. They wouldn't miss what they put in the offering box, but she would. Out of the depth of her want, in her destitute state, she gave all that she possessed. She sacrificed the last necessities of life to the Lord. You might say, it wasn't just her two mites that she put in the offering box. It was her whole self. And she did it out of a heart filled with love for the God of Israel. She was a cheerful giver. All she had, nothing. All she had, trust. All she had that day was Jesus. That keen observer of human beings, who's standing right there watching what is happening, the one who came for her. What we get in the gospel reading is not the widow's perspective. We don't know what she was thinking, what her emotional state was. What we get is God's perspective on her. And the deep love that Jesus has for this woman and her gift. In fact, it seems that what Jesus sees there with this woman giving all she had is really a microcosm, a little window into who Jesus is and what he came to do. It's like looking at that woman, he sees a mirror of himself in some way. All she had, she gave. All he had, he came to give. The widow gave her living. The Lord gave his life. And you should know that Mark 12, when Jesus watches this happen, is not just some random visit to the temple. This is happening during Holy Week. He is about to die. He is there in the temple teaching. I'm reminded here of the words of St. Paul, who said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." I'll admit it, on an earthly level, that woman, that poor widow, had nothing. Zero, zip, nada. And yet she was rich in faith, and rich through her God, rich through Jesus Christ, standing there about to give his life for her, that she might have life not only here, but forever. Jesus doesn't go to the temple to make an offering, but he does go to the cross to make an offering. There he casts in all he had, even his living. He breathed his last, released his spirit, as he said, "It is finished." All he had, he put in for her and for you. Our reading from Hebrews talks about the temple, not the earthly temple, but the heavenly one. It says that Jesus entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, appearing in the presence of God on our behalf. You see, as Jesus came to the earthly temple, he was coming to a place that it was only a copy of the heavenly temple, designed after what God had given Moses based on heaven. Jesus came to enter that temple on our behalf, to go in with his blood, making the offering of himself, not repeatedly, not over and over again, but the one sacrifice of himself for the salvation of the world. He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many. He has borne our sins by the sacrifice of himself, and he has gone all in for you. All he had. You've heard it before, but I want to say it again now. All he had, even if it had only been you. That's what he gave out of his love. He gave his life. On the third day, he took it up again, and he will appear a second time. We look toward the end. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. That's already been paid for. That's already covered. But he will appear again to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. For that poor widow, for you and me, we are looking for this Jesus Christ, and we are looking for his return in glory. And as we look and as we wait, our Lord comes to us still. He comes with his word. He comes with his holy and precious gifts. He comes to grant us forgiveness, life, and salvation, that we may be sustained for our lives in this world. May God grant us as much as that widow had. May he grant to us a cheerfulness in what we give. May he multiply even the little that we are able to give out of our poverty, as well as the surplus out of our abundance. May he multiply it for his purposes and his good. May he grant to us as much as the widow had, a faith like hers that trusts in the God of Israel and receives what she needs from his hand. And may he grant to us what that widow had in Jesus, who was watching her, a Savior who has come in the flesh, who has laid down his life for us, and who has taken it up again, and who will come again in glory. May our Lord Jesus Christ now bless and keep you, that as we press forward toward the end, we may do so again surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, including this poor widow with her two mites. In Jesus' name, amen.